Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger, live from the Israel Passaic Clifton. We're continuing our Daf HaShavua Insights of the Daf series. Our shir tonight is Maseches Brachos, Daf Nun Ches, and the topic is all the king's horses, all the president's men, the bracha we make on royalty. The Gemara on the top of Nun Chesam and Aleph brings us the following brisa. It says, Tan Rabbanon, Harom Malchei Yisrael, if somebody sees Jewish kings, Omer, he says the following, Baruch shechalak mikvodo liriyav. There's a bracha that's made on Jewish kings. Malchei umasul olam. If one sees non-Jewish kings, Omer, he makes the following bracha: Baruch shenasa mikvodo lebasar v'dam. And after the Gemara goes ahead and brings this halacha, we have a memra from Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara continues and says, "Am Rabbi Yochanan, the olam yishtadel adam larutz dekras malchei Yisrael. A person should make an effort to greet Jewish kings, for likras malchei Yisrael bavad, not only Jewish kings, el afil likras malchei umus ha'olam, even to greet non-Jewish kings. She'em yizke, that if he merits, yachim be malchei Yisrael l'malchei umus ha'olam, he will know to find the difference between Jewish kings and non-Jewish kings. Now, why is this important? So Rashi says, what do you mean by im yizke? We really need to tell you a difference between, I need to, zechus to tell me the difference, let's say, between a David HaMelech and one of the non-Jewish kings that are around at the time, or a king who's a tzaddik and a non-Jewish king who's a Russia. So it says, no, that's not what Rashi, that's what the Gemara means. Rashi tells us, what does it mean? She'im yizkeh le'olam haba, the year of the chvod melech ha-mashiach. If you're zocha to olam haba and to see Mashiach, yafkin kama yeser kavod notleis char mitzvos, yoser imashah yakvod ha-umos ba'olam hazeh. You'll be able to see how much greater the reward is given to the tzaddikim in Olam Haba than what the king gets today. In other words, kings get a huge, huge amount of kavod in this world. There's so much pomp and circumstance and everything like that. And what we're going to tell you is that if you're zocha for Olam Haba, you'll see that as much as a king gets over here in this world, how much more so are the tzaddikim going to get in Olam Haba. Now, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, and it's interesting because this Gemara was quoted earlier on, but it's also brought down over here in the context of a halacha. And the poskim don't take that repetition lightly. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, quoting others as well, and he says the following, Umutar letami betuma shel divrehen. One is allowed to be mitami a tuma derabanan. Let's say there's a certain situation, we'll call it a beis hapras, a field where there's a suffix, whether there's a kever or not that was plowed over, where normally a kohen is not allowed to go. If a kohen has a choice, or it hears that a king is coming, and to get to the king, he has to cross this field. The Mishnah Berurah says you're allowed to go ahead and do it. Mikvei kvodon, bein malchei Yisrael, ubein malchei umos haolam. Now, however, the Mishnah Berurah also quotes. It's also brought down from the Sefer Chasidim. It's interesting to note that imro pam achas hamelech lo yivatel yoser milimudol deroso. If you've seen a king already one time, you don't need to be mavatel Torah. Imro shabab b'chayol yoser b'kavod gadol yoser. That if a person already saw a king, he doesn't need to go ahead and see the king again, unless, of course, it's going to be another king who is a little bit greater or more powerful. And what the Sefer Chasidim and Mishnah Berurah write, in terms of Bittul Torah, it says that even Bittul Torah is something that you're allowed to go ahead. So look at this. This idea of seeing a king to give us a teeny little taste about what we could aspire to in Olam Haba, and to see the real reward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esrit Tzadikim supersedes many mitzvos derabanan, Lo sases the Rabbanon, and it also supersedes Bittul Torah, at least one time. So what we see from this is that this bracha on the king is different than all other brachos Ariyah that we have. Usually a brachos Ariyah is a reactive thing. You see a rainbow, you make a bracha. But there's no mitzvah out there to go ahead and storm chase, to go ahead and find a rainbow. There's no mitzvah to go ahead and find a lightning storm. Yes, I know there are storm chasers out there, but there's definitely no mitzvah to go ahead and do that or to find Halley's Comet or whatever it is. However, when it comes to a king, we see that this is not just a reactive bracha. This is a proactive bracha with not only the idea of bringing Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also to teach us an additional lesson about the rewards that will be given to the great tzaddikim in the times of Mashiach. Now, the Gemara continues on with a story about Rav Sheshes, and the poskim are going to say that this story of Rav Sheshes is not only to teach us a story, it's also to teach us halacha as well. Now the Gemara goes on to say, I'm just going to paraphrase it, and the Gemara goes on to say that Rav Sheshes was blind, and they heard that one of the kings was coming, and he, along with a whole group of people, go to see the king. happened to be a certain min, a heretic, who comes along as well. And the heretic is not so impressed with Rav Sheshet's going, and he says, why are you going? Me, I can see the king. I can see. You, you're blind. What are you going to gain by it? And Rav Sheshet tells the min, and now this I'll quote, Tachazi, come and see. I happen to know more than you. I'll tell you when the king is coming. Well, they hear this loud noise coming, and the min goes, oh, he's coming, he's coming. And Rav Sheshet says, no, he's not. And guess who was right? Rav Sheshet. They hear another loud noise. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Rav Sheshet says, no, not there. Then, after a little bit of quiet, and the third group passed very quietly there, Rav Sheshet said, he's coming. Sure enough, he came. And the min says to Rav Sheshet, how did you know? Rav Sheshet says, very simple. And he says the following, Malchus of the Araki, Malchus of the Rekia. Earthly kings are parallel to heavenly kings. And so we're all familiar with this expression from Unasan Tokef, but really this is where it comes from. It's really brought down from Eliyahu HaNavi, that when Eliyahu HaNavi went up to Shemayim, they heard there was a tremendous wind, there was a tremendous noise, there was a tremendous shaking of the earth, and there was a tremendous fire, and Hashem didn't come yet. And then there was a kol demama daka, small, faint sound. And with that faint sound, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu came. And what Rav Sheshet was telling this men is, king also, you'll hear the pomp and circumstance, but when the king actually comes, he's going to do it softly and quietly. Well, what does the story conclude? The story concludes, Ki Asa Malka, Pasach Rav Sheshet Vekama Varech La. Rav Sheshet went and made the bracha. And the interesting aspect of this is that Rav Sheshet didn't actually see the king, but he experienced it. And based on this, Rav David Yosef writes that one doesn't have to actually witness the king or the president. Even if he was just able to see the entourage and know that he was there, that would be sufficient. It's for this reason even a blind person may recite this bracha when he feels that the president is present. But if he doesn't feel it, but is merely told that the president is here, he doesn't recite the blessing. Now this is actually leads to a fascinating question, because very often we will see kings, but where? We've probably seen kings tens of times, 20 times. And I've only left the country in America to go to Eretz Yisrael. I was in Canada once, but I've still seen kings or queens. Where have I seen it? On television. Question is, could you make a bracha on a king if you see it on television or on the internet? So actually, let's see. You have the story of Rav Sheshet. He didn't see it, but he experienced it. So Rav David Yosef, the same Rav David Yosef before, says that television is not going to work. And the basic reason is that because television is, you're not seeing something. You're just seeing a reflection. And by seeing the reflection without actually being there live to experience it, that's not going to be good enough. In other words, Rav Yosef is holding that you really need to be there. But if you're not there, you have to actually see the king. And of course, obviously, you can't see the king if you're not there. However, I saw it written by Rav Arya Leibowitz that he brings down, and he wrote the following in an article about the sugya, and he says he heard from reliable sources that attended the Tel's yeshiva in the 1950s that when the Queen of England was inaugurated, they brought a television into the yeshiva so that the boys can watch the ceremony recite a bracha. And Rav Leibowitz says that perhaps we can argue it's not the physical presence of royalty that generates the obligation, but it's the feeling of seeing the tremendous honor accorded to royalty that causes the obligation to see the bracha. If so, seeing the inauguration of a new queen would certainly be appropriate grounds for a bracha. So what's this machlokas based on? It tells they made a bracha on a television. Rav David Yosef says you don't. The question is, if you're not there and you could experience it from afar. So the question is, do you actually, in terms of this experience of awe for the pomp and circumstance for a king or a queen, is that having to be with actually there experiencing it in person? Or is it a feeling from anywhere? And that's where, again, that's an offshoot from this story with Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet definitely experienced it. But are we going from the fact that he was there? That would be the position of W. Safe. Or was it the fact that he experienced it? And even if he wouldn't be there, but he feels that same emotion, you would have to do it. And that's what the Rashi Yeshivas tells Paskin in the 1950s when the Queen Elizabeth was inaugurated. As far as this as well, in terms of prestige and stuff like that. So there is something brought down that Rav Levadia Yosef brings down in Yabia Omer, that in the 1970s, President Nixon came to Eretz Yisrael, and they wanted to know if they should recite the bracha on President Nixon. And President Nixon, they were told that President Nixon, we do not make the bracha. No, it's not because of Watergate. It's before Watergate. But they don't make the bracha on President Nixon because of another thing. And that's because he wore a suit and tie. And what Rav Avadia was saying in the 1970s is that you wouldn't go ahead and make the bracha on the president because the president, while he does have some type of a, there is some type of a pomp and circumstance type of thing, but you wouldn't make it because he's dressed like a regular person, maybe a little bit fancier. However, other poskim today say that because in throughout the world, you don't really have kings wearing special clothing. Maybe some kind of tribal prince in Africa or something like that. But almost all world leaders today wear a suit and tie. Or they wear some type of a thing. Maybe you want to say that the certain dictators out there wear a military uniform that might be a little bit different. But in general, a suit and tie is what all leaders wear. But the idea might be the fact that they come with a motorcade, they come with an entourage. In fact, I remember one time I was driving on the highway, we were coming back home, Motzei Rosh Hashanah, and we saw on the other side of the highway a whole bunch of limousines pass by on the highway, and the highway was kind of closed for a second. And after we see them come down, we heard on the news that, oh, President Obama had been in New York campaigning for re-election. So you see that there is a certain idea. Now, obviously, we weren't going to say the bracha because we didn't see it, we didn't experience it, and by the time we realized who it was already a little bit too late. But the idea is the fact that a king or a president or a head of state has a certain regalness. There's a motorcade that goes with them. When you see it, it kind of brings up, do you realize this is not a regular person? That already would take the place, and the idea, the argument post can say about a king wearing royal clothes doesn't hold water anymore. But based on what you're saying right now, that the idea of having royalty, you know, and a regalness and ceremony and stuff like that, and grandeur and splendor, that might mean, the question is, what do we do with a head of state today? Is it possible that we would maybe make a bracha on a head of state? And based on this argument, one would say yes. However, there's a Tshuvas HaRidvaz that was written down that might go ahead and change the equation. Because the Ridvaz writes that the issue as far as making a bracha on a king is that it's not necessarily pomp and circumstance, but rather, and here's a little quote that's brought down by the name of the Ridvaz, and it says like this, Vein ol melech aleim lishnos divrei, I'm sorry, yes, the idea is, here is a quote of the Ridvaz, V'kasu b'tshuvas ha-Ridvaz, ha-shultonim shel b'yireihem, shel b'yireihem, the rulers in their cities, Vein ol melech aleim lishnos divrei mehen lelav, u'melav lehen, and there is nobody around to go ahead and change their opinions, V'horig b'mishpat mevarech aleim. In other words, what do they need? They need to be able to decide life and death, and nobody could override them. And of course, if you think about that, our presidents and even governors of states have a power of pardoning and the power of clemency. And if that's the case, then maybe one would be making a bracha on this. However, other poskim, including Rav Sternbuch, disagree with this, and they say there's a very, very important difference between a king today and a president today, and that happens to be election. And what Rav Sternbuch writes is that there are two factors, or maybe three factors, that go into saying that maybe we should not be making a bracha on a president. Number one, he's elected, and he's only elected for up to two terms. And because of that, his position is not permanent. A king, once you're in the royal family, that's where you stay. Number two, even though, yes, the king could do clemency, and the king could even is in charge of the economy, which many would say also constitutes the life and death. However, nonetheless, we know, at least with American law, a presidential law can be repealed by Congress. Right? One of the things we study in school, that if the president passes a law and you still have two-thirds of Congress that override him, there could be a veto and that's it. And they can veto his law. And he doesn't have that power. So if you think about that, that would tell us that probably one should definitely not make a bracha on a president. So we see there is the factor of, number one, there is kavod. Does the Ridvaz apply? That's already a machlokas about whether Ridvaz, right? So it definitely is kavod. But then you have the factor of the Ridvaz. And one can look into the Ridvaz and say, well, yes, there is the possibility of the life and death, but there's also the possibility of the, since he can be thrown out of office or sent out of office and elected out of office and his power is not permanent and his laws can be overridden, that while he does have the power of the clemency, the power that he has in general is not enough of a factor to require bracha. And that's why the Piskei Tshuvos write, in light of the different sfeikos that come up, they conclude that today one could make this bracha upon seeing a king, a queen, or a president, or prime minister. However, you do it without shame and malchus, because again, to get the message of the Gemara and to see these kings, that's definitely true. And to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's also true. But to put oneself into a suffix bracha levatala, that's something that's never worth it. And therefore, that's the psak that the Piskei Tshuva says, that when you see a contemporary ruler today, you make the bracha without shame and malchus. Kol tov, have a wonderful week.